In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the hardest things you and I will ever have to do is tell someone we dearly love a hard truth that they're not ready to hear. When we know such a moment is approaching, it usually makes us nervous, uncomfortable, uncertain. There's one dynamic of the situation that makes it even more difficult. It's when we know that that person that we dearly love, that needs to hear the truth from us, also loves us dearly, but despite the fact that we're telling them the truth in love, we know they are going to be angry with us. Perhaps even putting that relationship in jeopardy. How do I know this? Because over the years, helping people manage their challenges, things that people have shared with me, I know how very often it becomes a moment of compromise. It becomes a moment of step back. It becomes a moment in which the relationship is measured as more valuable than the truth, and the truth, as hard as it is, never really gets shared, even though that truth may have been a benefit and a blessing to a career, to a life, even for eternity. The truth isn't shared because the relationship is determined to be more important, more valuable than the truth itself. It should not surprise us then that the people who knew Jesus best, the people that he knew best, the people that had interacted with him for the first 30 years of his life there in Nazareth, reacted to Jesus in a very similar way. They were okay with hearing him tell them that he was the Messiah, even pointing the portion of scripture that he had read from Isaiah toward himself as being fulfilled in their hearing that day, that he had brought them blessing and he had brought them promised blessings from God as the Messiah. But things took a completely different direction when Jesus chose to use that moment then to speak hard truth to them that they were not ready or willing to hear. Their reaction was sudden and it was complete. Anger was the only thing they gave back to Jesus in that moment, and ultimately it was because they knew him too well. They were saying to themselves, "We've known this young man our whole lives." Many of them likely had products of the family carpenter shop that Jesus and his father and other relatives had made in their homes. They knew how little formal education that he had. They knew how poor his family was. And they even knew that this family on both sides were descended from the ancient King David. But that hadn't mattered much for hundreds of years already by that point. Jesus chose in that moment to tell them things that they really didn't want to hear, but needed to hear for their eternal outcome. Jesus' vision is so very often much higher, much more far-reaching than any given moment, what we struggle with, what we want to know or see, or even what we want from God. And the type of violence that they responded to Jesus with, we'd like to believe that we're not even possibly capable of such a thing. We would listen to Jesus. We'd listen to anything Jesus wants to tell us. But as we read portions of this gospel again, I'd ask you to contemplate whether that really is true. Jesus rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." If that sounds familiar, that's the end of last week's gospel lesson as well. Now the reaction. All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. Jesus made sure they understood that these verses from Isaiah were speaking about him, that they were being fulfilled graciously in a very blessed way by their Father in heaven that day with his presence in their synagogue as the promised Messiah. They didn't have a big problem with that. They were ready to hear that. They wanted from God all the things that they knew were blessed promises that would come through that Messiah. And it wasn't beyond the realm of their understanding that Jesus could potentially be the Messiah. But the kind of Messiah Jesus needed to be for them was not something they clearly understood. And so Jesus knew that in this moment, for them to understand everything the way they needed to for the long term, it was a moment that he had to seize to speak hard truth to them. Jesus said to them, "Surely you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself. Do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum.'" Oh boy, Jesus knows exactly what's on their hearts and their minds in that moment. Of course he does. He's God in human flesh. He reads minds. He reads hearts. He knows what they're thinking. He actually puts into words everything that was bubbling amongst them before they have time to spit it out themselves. They didn't want words from Jesus. They got words every week in the synagogue from a myriad of rabbis and other important people. What they wanted from Jesus in that moment was what he had done everywhere else. They were looking for his miracles. They were looking for the blessings from God promised to come through the Messiah that would change their lives right now. In essence, what they were thinking in their heads was, "Okay, Jesus, enough with the talk. It's time for you to do some miracles now. It's time for you to do so many miracles that every last person in your hometown is healed of every single one of their ailments and challenges. Do for us what you've done all these other places that we've heard about." But that's not what Jesus was there to do. And so he speaks hard words to them. And he tells them that their relationship with him is going to need to be about the word that he speaks, about their listening to it and believing it, and not about the physical blessings of God that he was capable, clearly capable, of delivering to them. What he's challenging is their misbelief and their unbelief and their complete misunderstanding in that moment of what God was intending for them to know and believe about his Messiah. It's important to remember where Jesus is and who these people are. These are the faithful of Israel. They've been in that synagogue Saturday after Saturday after Saturday, listening to all the lessons of the Sabbaths, just like Jesus did. They knew God's word. They heard God's word. They loved God's word. They made God's word a part of their lives, but they were misguided in what was most important for them to be hearing from God. And they weren't willing to listen to the law, especially the way Jesus was intending to speak to it to them on this particular day. He says, "I tell you the truth, no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time when the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian." And you and I read those words, and we're not sure exactly what Jesus' point is, but by the reaction that he got that day in the synagogue, they knew exactly what he was saying. There are those moments in time when the person God chooses to stand in the middle of God's people to speak God's word to them, especially when he has a difficult, challenging, judgmental word to speak from God, The identity of the individual, the familiarity of the individual is what becomes the tripping point for so many in the room. We've known this person all along. We've listened to a whole lot of things they have to say. So this one word we can dismiss. This one word we can deem as not as important as the other words. And what Jesus is saying is two of the most powerful prophets of the Old Testament, Elijah and Elisha, who served in succession one after the other, in their moments amongst God's people, there was so much misbelief and unbelief and dismissal of who they were and the power that God had authorized them with which to speak the word, that they couldn't do the miracles that the people were needing. But instead, God sent these two prophets to Gentiles, non-Israelites, people who may not even yet believe, to speak the word powerfully to an audience willing to hear it. He was telling them, I know you're not going to be willing to listen to everything God has to tell you through me. But we need to get this straight right now for you to understand your relationship with me. He knew that one day, the majority of the people sitting there in that synagogue listening to him would also hear of his suffering and his death, his crucifixion and his burial in Jerusalem. And for them to understand what it meant, on that day they heard about it, they had to get something straight today. That it wasn't all about glory, and it wasn't all about miracles, and it wasn't all about triumph, and it wasn't all about this life and making this misery of our lives better right now, as much as God's focus is on the eternal, on the far more important, the transcendent. Forgiveness of our sins, freedom from our guilt, that only He could bring about. That they would have no connection to if He didn't take this moment to challenge their perspective. They were not pleased. All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of the town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him down the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. So Jesus was everything he had told him that he was. He proved himself the Messiah, with the power of God at his disposal, even though they were rejecting him and furious with anger to the point of trying to kill him that day. He wouldn't let it happen, and they couldn't do anything about it. He just walked right through them and went on his way. We don't know a lot more about their reaction to the situation. How many may have come to know and understand the bigger picture of what Jesus was trying to teach them that day. But it does challenge our thinking, doesn't it? We like to believe that we would never react to Jesus that way. We would never treat Jesus that way. We would certainly never consider his word to be inconsequential, to just dismiss it as unimportant in our lives. But is that really true? Especially when Jesus is speaking from his word something to us that's corrective, that's painful, that's judgment, that's leading us to see our own sins and rebellion against God and our misunderstanding and our misbelief of who God is and what he wants for us and what he deems to be most important. How often don't we find ourselves dismissing a moment in which Jesus is speaking to us as not what was on our agenda for that day? I know what you want to say to me, Jesus, but not right now, not here, not in this moment. What he wants isn't what we want so very, very often, because his vision is at a much higher level than ours. And we get ourselves so busy and so tied up and so immersed in the day-to-day realities of our lives that it just becomes this huge cloud that seems to be sitting on us in a way that we're distracted. But there are important voices that do get our attention. Whether it's the workplace, or whether it's the family, or the congregation, or the neighborhood, There are all kinds of people who have importance in our lives, and they use that platform to so often lead us into delving into things that in the end are not really nearly as important as every last thing that Jesus has to say to us. But because our lives are so full, our minds and hearts, our schedules are so full, we tend to treat Jesus the same. We kind of distance him and relegate him to certain little places and times and circumstances. We dismiss. We treat his word lightly, not meaning to. It's just the pattern of our lives. But it's important to recognize just how deadly that is. Because every time we're encountered by Jesus' word, things really only get to go two directions. He either is God in human flesh, come down to our world to experience our life, to suffer our temptations, to be perfect and flawless under God's law, to create the payment necessary for our sins, to die and to rise again to guarantee us life with God forever, or he's not really all that important, and what he has to say of us to us can be dismissed as not all that consequential. But take that logic to its ending point. Realize that every time you're encountered by God's word, you have the opportunity to embrace it, to grow in faith and knowledge and godly living, to have it shape your thinking and your life in all the ways that God desires to work that through his Spirit, or you have another opportunity to take a step in exactly the opposite direction, which leads to a moment when you will stand before your Creator, taking a measurement of your life, and when it is your moment to answer for yourself, you will have no defender. You will have no one to intercede for you. You will have no one to offer the perfect sacrifice for your sins. Then Jesus went down to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and on the Sabbath began to teach the people. They were amazed at his teaching because his message had authority. Jesus doesn't stop. Jesus doesn't give up. Even though the people that he grew up with, the people that knew him best, rejected him to the point of trying to kill him, it wasn't a surprise to him. It wasn't something he wasn't expecting or anticipating. Rather, it was just another day of living perfectly and offering himself completely for the needs of a human race that has so often misunderstood him and devalued everything he has to say. But you and I know that Jesus is always ready to speak to us. He has a word for every day and every moment of our lives to challenge us, to guide us, to judge us and mold us, but to forgive us and free us for all eternity. And so when you and I have the word in front of us and we value what it says, you and I will hear this word of Jesus. We won't fall into this trap of Satan, but rather, you and I, we're never going to treat Jesus' word lightly. Amen. Please stand. Now grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen.